it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Oh, crap. Wake up. Ow.
That good, huh? Like it's 10 o'clock at night or something.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
All right. Stupid time zones.
Yeah, right.
Hey, everybody. This is Bumblebee, and you're listening to the TFG1 podcast. Cool, huh?
Welcome to an all-new generation of the that sucks. I haven't done this in a while. Hello and welcome to an all-new generation of the TFG1 podcast. I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike, and joining me this time around is Mike Seibert from Mike Seibert Radio Program, and something about being Mike and Furious. I don't know what that is all about.
If only there were two of us.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I'm one half of Two Mikes, Two Furious, animated Transformers, where we talk about Transformers animated one episode at a time.
Absolutely. Today we are celebrating, as this will release December 12th, 2020, whatever the hell year this is, 15 years of me being a podcaster and 15 years of this podcast, even though I think the last time we released an episode might have been 2014. I don't remember. We're going to be talking all about the Cybertronic Spree's original album, not original album because we did that already, but their album Transformers 1986, because back in August, as I said, we talked about Ravage. And now we talk about their cover album from the Transformers the Movie soundtrack. Holy crap.
Yeah, man, it's really good. You know, in preparation for this conversation, I've been bumping this both back and forth on my commute. And it's been a while because, like, I've been on a huge Ravage kick lately, especially since I recently saw them in concert, saw them open up for Max Sabbath, which is a whole nother conversation we could have at a different time. I think I've been permanently scarred by by Ozzy Osbourne, Ronald McDonald, and it's bizarre. Like, I would describe Max Sabbath as an experience. I don't know if it was good, I don't know if it was bad, but it was certainly an experience. So seeing them and Cybertronic Spree during the More Than Meets the Eye, M-E-A-T-S, for their fall tour there. So anyway, I've been on a huge Ravage kick. So getting the opportunity to revisit Transformers 1986 really rekindled a feeling that I had at the time is, this album rules. It rocks so hard, and I'm really excited to kind of do a little bit of a deeper dive and kind of have a lengthier discussion about it, because I really enjoy this album.
Yeah. I don't know what the original I have the 10 tracks because you sent them to me and all that, but I made a playlist on Spotify with them, and I arranged them in the order that the songs are supposed to happen in the movie. I don't think that's the original track listing that they put together, because I had to move all of these around to remember where, okay, Escape happens here, and then Hunger happens, and then this happens, and then that, because I need to listen to the music in the order that it was done in the movie. But yeah, 10 tracks, 37 minutes ish, just over 37 minutes. And my only complaint is the one instrumental part out of all these original 10 tracks from the original soundtrack release, the instrumental that Stan Bush does in Dare, that to me is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, musical cues ever. And it just sounds weird
Yeah,
when they're doing it, when Cybertronic Spree is doing it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I got weirded out a little bit because I'm like, wait a minute, that the song itself is great, absolutely mm-hmm. great, but just that one cue, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's actually a really good place to start because, like, I have a lot of feelings and opinions about this iteration of Dare, and I think you and I are kind of on the same wavelength of vibe-wise about kind of like that instrumental breakdown in the middle, and it's fascinating because, like, I've been asked a number of times what my favorite part of Transformers the movie is, or like what my favorite line of dialogue is, or, you know, my favorite whatever with regarding to Transformers the movie. And it's interesting, after having these conversations and really thinking about it, I think when I think of the Transformers the movie, what really kind of crystallizes the most in like my 7-year-old child brain that really kind of fired those synapses and really just kind of set my imagination on fire is the entire Dare sequence, from like the time that, you know, Daniel wants to go see this boring old shuttle landing and Hot Rod wants to take him up to Lookout Mountain because that's like, you know, his best makeout spot. And, you know, just like as soon as like Daniel gets on that that aggressively unsafe hoverboard and the song kicks in, you know, it gets the hair on your arms raised. But further on, what I've crystallized as to my favorite part of Transformers the movie is when the Decepticons are coming down and there's Blitzwing and there's Shrapnel, and, you know, Blitzwing is like, come on down, Autobot, and he'd like, and that part, that's the specific cue, and it's in this instrumental breakdown that we're talking about now, mm-hmm. is when Blitzwing's scope, you're seeing it from his point of view, and, like, you see the scope go up and down, and, like, all these cool, like, extra, like, graphics, like Terminator robot vision as he goes to lock in on Hot Rod there, and then, of course, you know, Cup comes around the corner and you know, saves the day and all that other stuff. But like, when I think of Transformers the movie at like its most basic elemental aspect, is that musical breakdown where it's like, you know, dun 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 dun, you know, dun 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 dun, and so it's like that is what is crystallized in my brain. So when I got the download for Transformers 1986, and again, I've been a fan of the Spree for a while. That's well documented. No need mm-hmm. to necessarily recover that here.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, we're doing no legislation. So, but no, I that was the first track I listened to. And that was kind of the measurement by which I kind of measured the album. And I kind of agree with you to an extent that, like, it's not quite the same. Like, you know, the notes are a little different. The tune is a little different. It's different. And I don't want to start this conversation off on a sour note, but like, for that one micro bit of a moment within a song that is otherwise wonderful, I did kind of find myself let down because it doesn't quite hit the same way.
Yeah, it doesn't hit the same way, and it doesn't have the same punch as the original version does.
Yeah, it's kind of, and I think we could talk about this with regards to some of the other instrumental songs and kind of how the overall sound and texture of Cybertronic Spree is like, you know, it's kind of sludgy at times. Like, you know, the guitars are thicker and chunkier. The synthesizer is a little brighter and in a slightly different key. And plus, we've had, you know, 35 years plus to hear these songs over and over and over. So when you get to a different version, it's, you know, your brain is going to trick you into knowing that it's something else. So I find myself, you know, through listening to this album, looking for the differences and oftentimes delighting in those differences. Like, so, you know, I know I started it kind of on a negative with regards to Dare, but Dare is still my favorite song of the soundtrack. It's my favorite song in the movie. I'm a Dare guy more so than a the Touch guy for a variety of reasons. But like, and I think it is the standout track on Transformers 1986 for the fact that it knows what to do with its two lead singers. It's taken a Stan Bush power ballad and turned it into a rock opera duet. So yeah. It's like, you know, like splitting the parts between Hot Rod and RC gives the song a whole new wonderful texture that I didn't know I needed, but I'm incredibly grateful to have a just as powerful and exciting version as the one that you know sparked my imagination when I was 7 years old. It's a cool thing to have a song come and ignite your imagination the same way as an adult. I love this version of Dare because, like I said, it utilizes both of their voices so perfectly and so well. I never thought that this song would be a duet, but it's terrific.
Yeah, it really does work with their voices and how the duet is done. And yeah, really, that's the only mark I give against the entire album is that the synthesizer solo, the breakdown part of Dare. The rest of it is great. I love the instrument. The way they did Death of Optimus Prime is amazing. The way that they did Escape is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Weird Al. Eat your fucking heart out. This version of Dare to Be Stupid is almost better than his version of it.
Yeah.
Like it is very, very good. It's just, and you know, I'm not gonna, you know, take too many points off for the one section, but like the rest of it is really freaking good.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. So to jump off from a couple different points that you made there with regards to Dare to Be Stupid, I like it, and it's interesting that this recorded version kind of represents a little bit of a time capsule, because I've since seen the Spree live a couple times, and I can hear how Hot Rod has grown and developed as a vocalist, because in the recorded version of Dare to Be Stupid, he is kind of doing a riff on Weird Al. It's like there's almost it's not quite an impersonation, but there are certain like phrasing choices that he doesn't do in contemporary versions of it. Like, you know, I can hear his delightfully Canadian voice coming through in the live versions more so than in the recorded version, of course, with the exception of sorry, I can hear you now. Sorry, I can't hear you. It's just very much cyber from Cyber Toronto as the Spree hails from there. But yeah, that's the only bit of it. The rest of it is, yeah, it's kind of like in the key of Weird Al. But like, again, like I said, when they do that live, it's he sings it in a different key. And I think for my taste, it's better for it.
Yeah, go ahead. The thing about it is, like, I wasn't like I wasn't sure what, because today, right before we did this, like, I've been listening to this all damn day long to make sure I have these songs stuck in my head. Even though I know the songs, I don't know, I didn't know this version of these songs. So, yeah, but the way that they do the, like, we all know what the original sounds like.
Uh-huh.
It's very corny, comedic type. Like, we all know Weird Al. We all know Weird Al has an obsession with the accordion, and which is fine. It's great. It's awesome. I love the original version, but just I didn't know what to expect with this version. I just kept looking at it, and then I hit play, and I'm like, oh, that's okay. They rocked it up a little bit. There's no real, I mean, I'm sure there's an accordion in there somewhere, but it's not as pronounced as it is in the original version. And I just, like, literally, I might put that on my favorites playlist. That's probably one of the only songs off here I will switch over into my favorites playlist.
And it's interesting with that, too, because it's interesting to have this conversation after we've talked about Ravage, after we've experienced Ravage, because with Ravage, their first album of wholly
original
music that they've written and performed themselves, they are a rock band straight through. Whereas the style of music that Weird Al plays is, you know, it's pop and satire and parody. Whereas everything, every bit of these songs, because I mean, the Transformers the movie soundtrack is, you know, known for being eclectic, you know, where it's like you have some more hair metal power ballads mixed with heavy synthesizer, mixed with you know, prog rock type of texture, and then a Weird Al song thrown in there for good measure. So it's already an eclectic mix of songs, but the with Cybertronic Spree being such a rock forward band with a rock forward sound, they bring that texture to all of the songs and kind of gives it a consistency in sound and tone that the original soundtrack doesn't. This sounds like a complete album performed by one band with kind of like a singular vision, even though there's this weird tonal shift between songs. It sounds complete and consistent, if that makes a lick of sense.
Yeah, it does. And again, going back to the fact that you and I started with Ravage, we started with the current, the wholly original album, and hearing what they did on that for themselves and for their fans and everything else, and all of those songs are original. And then going back and listening to this, it's like, oh, I know exactly where they got certain things for Turbo Heart or whatever on the new album. Yeah. And you can clearly hear the influences on the new album versus doing what they're doing here. And I will say briefly, as I mentioned earlier, I reordered these tracks. So the original track order, because I actually have the folder up now, Transformers theme, Dare is the second track, Autobot Decepticon Battle is third, Instruments of Destruction is four, Death of Optimus Prime is five, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now is 6, Dare to Be Stupid is 7, Escape is 8, and The Touch is 9, and Hunger is 10. It was just, like, I get it, but I'm one of those types of people that if I have music to anything, if it's a score to a movie, it has to be in sequence with the events of the film, and I had to reorder these and put them where they're supposed to be so I can play through the movie in my head as I'm listening. But I absolutely love what they did with this stuff. It's so fun.
It's terrific. And, you know, while we're on that topic, I kind of want to talk about the track ordering a little bit, because I think if you look at the track order for Transformers 1986 compared to the original soundtrack album for Transformers the movie, they're wildly different. They're in a completely different order, and I would love to hear from the bots what some of their motivation for some of these track orders is, because like you said, Mike, it's not it's not in the order of the movie, but conversely, neither is the soundtrack album. I happen to have it in front of me, so get this. So in the original soundtrack album, the first song is The Touch.
Yep.
Then it goes to Instruments, then Death of Optimus Prime, and then Dare after that. And then it's Nothing's Going to Stand in Our Way. Side two is the Transformers theme, Escape, Hunger, Autobot Decepticon Battle, and then Dare to Be Stupid closes it out. So tonally, it's very, very different. And neither one of these track listings, as you were saying earlier, is in the order or the cadence of the movie. But having seen the Cybertronics Breed live a couple times, you might have noticed this when you got to Hunger at the end of the track. It has a lot of extra flourishes at the end. And that's their closer. That's the song that they close out their shows with. So, you know, they close out the album the same way they close out their shows. But like I found, so I listened to it in track order just to kind of get myself into the bot's head to kind of figure out where they were motivationally. And it feels like it's very top heavy with the more rock forward songs. Like, I think starting off with the Transformers theme is a masterstroke because it's the Transformers. And it's like, if you're going to own that, then own that. And I think following up with Dare, and then going right into Autobot Decepticon Battle, it's like, you know, you have like this driving momentum, and then you get into Instruments of Destruction, and then that's when you realize that, wait a sec, RC is the lead singer here, and this is like, so you got to wait three songs for her to really cut loose. And I remember this being kind of like a mission statement song for kind of what they're about. I mean, like, I love Hot Rod. He holds his own. He has terrific stage presence, but RC is the star of the band. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. But the thing that's fascinating is after you get off this maelstrom of like these first four songs, then you go into Death of Optimus Prime. And that seems like a seemingly odd choice. But for myself, for my collection, I have so many different versions of this album. Like I was a Kickstarter backer, so I got it on a CD and download, but I also have it on tape and I also have it on vinyl. In fact, actually, humble brag, I have one of the test pressings of Transformers 1986. So it's nice. And there's only 24 of them in the world. And I was able to snag one. And I've got like a half dozen versions of it in a variety of different colors. I love this album. But but where I'm going with that is that we spend so much of our time listening on either streaming or CD. It's fascinating to listen to albums being curated for either cassette or vinyl, where it's like, you know, you have a side one and a side two, and each kind of has their own vibe. So ending side one, or A, or whatever you want to call it, with Death of Optimus Prime is pretty cool because it kind of closes off that chapter or that half of the album. And you had alluded to it earlier, but like, I had forgotten how affecting this version of Death of Optimus Prime is because, like, you know, we had talked about the comparisons with the notes. This version has all kinds of crazy different notes, and there's like, you know, there's like all kinds of different like drum fills that aren't there in the original. There's a lot more guitar, and it's not a different composition, but it is different enough to where it's noticeable. And I'm kind of regretful that I don't listen to it often enough, because quite frankly, when it comes up in sequence, I generally skip it because it is dour. It's sad. It's affecting. Thank you.
but the thing is like, and you're right. Normally, if I'm, I mean, unless I'm actively listening to the full score that Vince DiCola and Entrada Records put out a couple of years ago, unless I'm listening to that, yeah, this soundtrack album, you're probably going to end up skipping Death of Optimus Prime after you hear it once or twice. You're not going to go back to it. However, the Cybertronic Spreever, like, I could listen to this all day. Yeah, it is dour. It is what, but the way they punch it up with the guitars and everything else that they're doing in it, it's like, it's so, like you said, it is pretty much the same as the original, except they punch it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's just so good.
Absolutely. So, and then that kind of gets us into, you know, side B or side two, depending upon what your media is. And then to start off with Nothing's Gonna Stand in Our Way. And that's a fascinating song too, because, like, you know, the vocal starts off with Hot Rod, but he almost kind of like hands it over to RC at some point, because, like, you know, she kind of closes out the song. Like, it's like, it was so weird. I was listening to it earlier today, and I guess I hadn't listened to it closely enough, because it's a lot of him at the start. And then at some point they kind of switch places, and it's like kind of like this weird handoff song that, like, it's not a duet in the way that Dare is, but it's they do this crazy cool thing where they just kind of like switch singers. It's really neat.
I'd have to listen back to it, and obviously it'll be after this episode is released, but when I do listen back to it, I want to listen to see where that timestamp is, where the change happens, because it is an even 4-minute song. So what if they did something so radical as to give him 2 minutes lead and then to have her finish the last 2 minutes to give them equal time as the singers? That would be really cool. Now, if it came to like 4:03 or 4:04 or 4:10, whatever, it'd be a little weird. But since it's a straight 4-minute song, that would be kind of interesting to see if they just each got 2 minutes of the lyrics.
Yeah. And then from there you go into Dare to Be Stupid, like we already talked about, and then Escape. You know, Escape is my favorite instrumental, just because it's so breezy. You know, I love a good chase theme, and even from like the original Vince DiCola composition, like, I think one of the reasons why I like Escape the most is because it evokes portions of Dare. You know, it's like it's got some of that same thematic texture to it, but it also brings in a lot of kind of like the classic G1 TV type of thing. You know, anytime I hear a like da 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 da, you know, it's like anything that evokes the actual Transformers theme, which other tracks don't do nearly enough. I think this is the one that really puts that right on Front Street, to where it's like, no, this is not only it's a terrific chase theme, but it's a Transformers chase theme, because it has so much of that, so many of those notes in there. And like we were saying with the other instrumentals, you know, it's like, you know, having that difference between like a different style of guitar playing, a different style of synth playing. Like, I mean, like, again, like the guitars are like, you know, sludgy and inky and deep. You know, it's like there's like a lot of like deep bass that goes into it, that none of that is kind of in the original. It's got a different texture to it.
It absolutely does. Now, you said sludgy and inky, and my first thought is, okay, Hot Rod, get your razor blade ready. You got to cut that squid up.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I do agree with you on Escape, because Escape is, you know, get to the shuttle. We don't have much time. The Decepticons mm-hmm. are here. We got to get out of here. And I know that they were covering off of the album soundtrack and not the full score, because the full score wasn't released until 2016, like I said, on Entrada.
Yeah.
But man, closing in. Oh my God. So this is once they're in space mm-hmm. and Galvatron starts, like, but that instrument, like, I'm so glad they didn't touch that, because that one is like out of every piece of Transformers music I've ever heard, closing in is by far my favorite, because that's the Cyclonus transform and attack.
That's
that whole scene. But yeah, Escape is great from Cybertronic Spree. Again, like we said, they punch it up a little bit. They add a little bit of their own flavor to the more rock side of it. And it's fun. That's the thing about this album. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about their version of the touch?
At least it wasn't freaking Marky Mark.
You got the touch.
Oh, God. I'm one of those types of people, folks, that I like the original album. I like the produced material, anything. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind going to concerts and experiencing the music live, but you're never going to. There's only one album currently that I will listen to that is a live performance, and that is Blackstone Cherry's Live from the Royal Albert Hall, y'all. Because Blackstone Cherry, when they are live, they sound just like they sound when they are doing a album recording or whatever. I have never liked listening to live music on vinyl, cassette, 8-track, mm-hmm. phonograph. Whatever, I have never liked it, because half the time they don't cut, and I don't understand why they don't cut the crowd noise, but like, oh man. So with this, when I was listening to this, my first thought was, well, at least it isn't Marky Mark, because man, I don't know what it is about the touch, but that original album version that Stan did, the version that's in the movie itself, that's my version. Even some of the, like, I know Stan himself did like the epic guitar mix or whatever a couple of years ago for, I think, one of the War for Cybertron games. And that's great mix as well. But the original version is my favorite. I don't dislike this version. I think this version is cool, but it's more skippable to me than Death of Optimus Prime on this.
Megatron must be stopped, no matter the cost.
You got the touch! You got the power!
One shall stand, one shall fall. Why throw away your life so recklessly? That's a question you should ask yourself, Megatron.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, and I think that's a terrific comparison. I think one of my takeaways from this conversation is I need to listen to Death of Optimus Prime more often than I do. Their version of the touch is certainly serviceable. It's enjoyable, and it gets the crowd going when they play it live, because, like, you know, and I think we talked about this back in August when we talked about Ravage, but, like, I am still fascinated, like, endlessly puzzled that there is not a whole lot of overlap between fans of Cybertronic Spree and folks who participate in contemporary Transformers fandom. Like, yeah. I think I was one of the few folks who, like, you know, between, like, podcasting and you know, all the other stuff I do in contemporary Transformers, like, I think I was one of the only, like, Transformers fans that was there. A lot of other folks at the show are just there because they, you know, they remember Transformers from when they were kids. Or, like, they like a good gimmick band, you know, like a Max Sabbath or a Guar or something like that. So I think the novelty of the terrific costumes that the bots in the Spree have, I think that's what appeals to folks also. But it is so weird to me. Very few Transformers fans. So the touch is one of those songs that's so ubiquitous that is kind of like, because, like you were saying, like the Marky Mark stuff and some of the other things, like, you know, it showed up on Goldberg's and some other stuff. And, you know, it's kind of permeated pop culture, and it's kind of synonymous with the 80s, and it's synonymous with kind of that moment in time, and it's synonymous with Transformers. I'm with you, Mike. I'm a Dare guy. And I think for me, Dare will be my song because it was written for the movie. Like, nothing against Stan Bush. He's a terrific guy. I mean, we both talked to him on interviews at different times. Nothing but love for Stan. But, like, you know, the touch was written for Cobra. So, you know, it was like it was going to be in a Sylvester Stallone movie. And I think with Dare specifically being written by Scott Shelley and Vince DiCola for Transformers the movie, that gives it a different level of authenticity that I think will always be kind of missing for the touch for me. But with, you know, the Cybertronic Spree version, it's fine. I like some of the different things they do with some of the musicality and instrumentation of it. You know, like it kind of starts off a little slower and a little more somber, more reverential than the original, because, like, in the original, that synth hits really hard those first few waves. It's like, blah, 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 you got the touch. Whereas the Cybertronic Spree version is a little more ethereal. You know, there's like, you know, they've got like an echo reverb effect, and, you know, it doesn't punch as hard, which is a choice. And at a time when you're trying to make a version of an iconic song that stands out differently, I can totally appreciate that choice. It's not my favorite. And I would think if I had to pick a weak point on the album, it would probably be that. I think for Transformers 1986, Cybertronic Spree, I think that's kind of my skip track, mostly because I just want to get to Hunger, because, like, I love that song in the original, but, like, I really enjoy the Cybertronic Spree version. It's a banger, as the kids used to say.
Yeah, I wish somebody on YouTube or somewhere would take. So there was somebody did a cut up of the movie, and they had there's one video out there. It's in my favorites somewhere, where it starts out with the thumbnail is the back of Hot Rod. So it's right as the Sharktacon fight is starting to happen, right as the song. I want somebody to take that scene from the movie and put it to this version of Hunger, because, that would be so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, and you were talking about, like, you know, Hot Rod trying to, you know, get out his saw blade and stuff, mm-hmm. but, like, you know, when that sludgy guitar is coming, you know, I mean, it's just like full throated metal guitar there. It's so good, and it has like a visceral intensity that's different than the original. And I think given RC the lead on this one, which again, I think that's a masterstroke on Cybertronic Spree's part to take what are hair metal ballads, not ballads, but like, you know, hair metal songs, and give them to a female singer rather than trying to get a male singer to try to hit some of those higher notes, like the lead singer for Spectre General. I'm sorry, Kick-Axe. I think that's a terrific choice, and this feels like a terrific complement to Instruments of Destruction, and it really showcases RC's vocal in a way very similar to, I'm sure, what inspired them to cover like Immigrant Song or Barracuda by Heart. And I think that's one of those things where in doing these songs, it's like, wait a sec, we've got something here, because yeah. that's kind of the similar thing. Whereas, you know, Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin kind of has that higher register. And how do you do that? You give that to a powerhouse female vocalist. And that's why that cover of Immigrant Song is so ubiquitous. Like, you know, something is a viral hit when it comes back around. Like when I'm having like my aunt send me their video on Facebook saying like, hey, you know, check this out. You know, it's Transformers. And I'm like, yes, thank you. I'm very well aware. In fact, I was probably one of the first ones to share it. You probably saw it from me sharing it. But even so, I'll still take it. You know, something is truly viral when it boomerangs back around like that. But like, there's a reason why they close out their shows with Hunger, because I mean, it just has a ravenous vibe to it that I think is really cool. And it feels like, more so than Dare to Be Stupid on the original soundtrack arrangement, I feel like Hunger is kind of like the culmination of what the audio musical texture of Transformers 1986 is. It feels like an appropriate choice to close it out with.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as the actual sung songs, yes, I do agree. It's just, like I said at the beginning of this, I just need it in the film order. Because I listened to it in the order that they put it in. And I agree, it's a good track order, but every time I listen to the soundtrack or every time I listen to the score, I have the film running in my head. So if mm-hmm. I don't hear the right beat at the right time, when I know in my head, like if I don't hear the Dare synth where it's supposed to be, it's like, wait a minute, who fast forwarded this on me? Don't do that. You know, kind of thing. But no, Cybertronic Spree, I can't wait to see what they do next. It's going to be so awesome, whatever it is. Like we said at the beginning of this, Ravage, go check out Geekcast Radio episode 319, where Mike and I talked about their wholly original album, Ravage. That's out now for the public consumption as well. And yeah, Transformers 1986. It's, like I said, I'm probably going to add some of the instrumental tracks like Death of Optimus Prime to my favorites playlist on Spotify, because it was just such a good version of that tune. I think we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. I'm sure you're here all about Mike and what Mike does over at his radio program and that other weird legislative show that he and his buddy Mike do. And we'll come back to close the show right after this.
We are Two Mics, Two Furious, a podcast where we watch every episode of Transformers Animated and discuss from two different points of view. I'm Mike Seibert, and I've never watched Transformers Animated before, and guiding me on this journey is author Michael Andrews.
Hello. Yes, longtime Transformers Animated fan, serial rewatcher. I've seen it plenty of times.
So if you've never watched Transformers Animated but always wanted a reason to, now's your chance. Likewise, if you've binged the series several times, it's a great reason to watch through again with us. Because regardless, if you're a seasoned vet or a newbie, there's something for every fan. Because I ask questions.
Why is Prowl such a dick?
So that he can be not a dick later, I think is the answer.
Subscribe to Two Mics, Two Furious on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode.
Are we coming off furious enough? I feel like we're not living up to the... Are we supposed to be, like, more angry, more fired up? We're really in a good mood. We really enjoy talking to each other.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
What's up, folks? My name is Mike, and I am the host of the Mike Seibert Radio Podcast, your favorite Transformers adjacent podcast, and I've got 60 seconds to tell you all about my show. Good thing I've got a catchy theme song to do most of the work for me.
Mike Seibert Radio, we talk about stuff and things, lots of guests, in-depth interviewing. Mike Seibert Radio, it's nobody's
I also talk about The Transformers, the movie, about as much as I talk about Boba Fett. My guests are independent artists who tell their stories and give terrific advice about pursuing your creative interests, and I encourage you to do the same thing, even if I can't take my own advice. Brevity is not my first best strength, but you can subscribe to Mike Seibert Radio on most podcast apps so you never miss an episode. Make good choices!
Want to learn a bit about the Transformers? Think you know everything about Cybertron, but are looking to learn a little bit more? Enroll today at Transformers University Podcast. Each episode will tackle a piece of Transformers history, starting in 1984 and marching our way up to today. Hosted by me, Anthony Brucalli, three-time Emmy Award winner and consulting producer on Netflix's The Toys That Made Us, and lifelong Transformers fan, we'll go on a journey through cartoons and comics, toys and movies, and all the weird esoterica from around the world, chronicling the adventures of everyone's favorite, Robots in Disguise. Listen to Transformers University on iTunes, Google, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Transform and roll out!
Hello, all sentient beings! Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Thank you.
right, the TFG1 podcast, episode 51. I cannot promise you folks anything at this point, but it is 15 years since the podcast debuted. I did have some sort of something written down somewhere about doing some sort of six-part series going back over the last 15 years, even though the podcast itself was only 24 episodes, or there's slightly more than that. But the original series, when I set out and did the podcast, it was only 24 episodes to cover all 98 episodes plus the movie. And there's a couple supplementals in there as well. Mr. Seibert, tell the fine folks all about what you do, sir.
Oh, sure. If you like this type of legislation, check out my other podcast, Two Mics, Two Furious Animated Transformers, where me and another guy who has a very similar name, Michael Andrews, we talk about Transformers Animated one episode at a time. You've caught us square in the middle of our winter hiatus for the holidays, so now is a good time to catch up on all of our coverage of season one of Transformers Animated. He is a super fan of TFA, and the gimmick of our show is I have never watched Transformers Animated before this project, and so you get two perspectives, me as a first-time watcher and him as a serial rewatcher, as he struggles to not spoil the show for me for a show that ended 15 years ago. But we just recently finished up season one, so those of 15 or so episodes are up. We also did a live stream recently for Michael Andrews' birthday back at the beginning of November, and that's available on our YouTube channel. And you can listen to Two Mics, Two Furious pretty much everywhere you listen to all of the fine TFG1 my podcasts. As for me, I also host a podcast of my own called Mike Seibert Radio. And it's funny because, like, Mike Seibert Radio has kind of become the sideshow to Two Mics, Two Furious as opposed to the other way around. It's like, wait a sec, my primary show is now the spinoff show? How did this happen? Because, yeah, I don't know what it is about our dynamic, but folks seem to really like us talking about Transformers Animated. So it's a lot of fun. But anyway, I host Mike Seibert Radio podcast, where I talk about stuff and things. I interview bands and artists and independent folks talking about creative endeavors. I occasionally do movie reviews as well. I've got an episode of forthcoming. Actually, it's probably up by the time this will publish, about Godzilla Minus One, and talk about why you got to go out and see that in the biggest screen that you possibly can, because it rules so hard. And I really, really like that movie. But anyway, I do movie reviews, music reviews, and things of that nature. And you can listen to Mike Seibert Radio podcast everywhere you listen to Two Mics, Two Furious, and again, all of the wonderful Geekcast Radio Network shows as well. You can find me on social media at Mike Seibert Radio. The spelling is S-E-I-B-E-R-T, exactly the way it sounds. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. None of the new stuff, though. Like, I think I have a Blue Sky, but I haven't logged into it in months, and I'm too old and crotchety to want to do like Mastodon or whatever the hell else is out there. I'm going to be on the Twitter train until it costs me money. You know, once Elon has his hand out saying pay me money to be on Twitter, that's the day I quit. So until then, I'm just going to stay on the sinking ship until it completely engulfs in flames and drags us all into the cold depths of the ocean. But anyway, thank you so much for having me on. It's always fun hanging out with you. I feel like I really dominated the conversation, but like I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about these songs and this band that I'm such a fan of. Like, Cybertronic Spree is one of my favorite bands. Like, you know, I've supported both of their Kickstarters enthusiastically. I see them whenever they come to the Pacific Northwest. I buy multiple versions of their albums on pretty much every platform I could get it. And they're just terrific bots. Like, one of the things that made my heart the warmest is like when they played their last show most recently, Hot Rod is up on stage. I'm like pressed up against the stage front row, and Hot Rod, like in between, I don't remember what song they were doing, but like Hot Rod had a break where he wasn't playing guitar or singing, and he comes up to me with a fist bump. He's like, Mike Seibert, boom, fist bump. And it's like that made my day. Like that was so freaking cool. So, I mean, they're terrific bots. Really cool folks. So yeah, I mean, support them any way you can, because they are awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, at least this wasn't a 4-hour tour this time.
So yeah, right. There's fewer questions. Now, if there were twice as many tracks, we'd probably be here twice as long.
That's true. It's a good thing we didn't do this in Ravage together, because holy crap.
Oh my gosh.
Ravaging the Transformers 1986. Oh God, that would be crazy. Supercut. Time to edit.
Love it. I love it.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. TFG1 podcast. I don't know if I'm going to be doing more celebrating 15 years of the show or anything like that, but thank you for joining us. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. You can follow us on X at Geekcast Radio for the network, at TFG1 Mike for myself. Mike is over there as well, as he already said. Facebook, same thing, Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out the other pages that we have over there, like Studio 2009, All Things Transformers, all that stuff. Next time, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, what's going to, you know, whatever. So for now, I'm TFG1 and Mike with...
I'm Mike Seibert. Make good choices.
There you go. Transform and transcend, and we will catch you next time here on the TFG1 podcast.
Yeah, roll out.
Roll out.